They don't fill you up.
Good evening. We'll call this meeting to order. It is the regular meeting of the Board of Education for District 303. It is Monday night, January 13th, 2014, at 7:05 p.m. Mrs. Ratchford, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gaspari.
Here.
Mrs. Hewitt.
Here.
Mr. Nahum.
Here.
Mrs. McConnell.
Here.
Mr. McConnell.
Here.
Mrs. Pratt.
Here.
Here. Would you join me in the pledge to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming. Happy New Year to all. Let's start with citizen comments, and I see that we have one, Joe Stupak.
Chris.
Please, go ahead. Turn up the microphone there.
Good evening.
Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all, we have to read something first. I apologize.
Thank you.
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker, to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personal matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Okay, Ms. Rashford will hold up Tige Tunyon. Time goes and when your time's up. Please, sir.
I'll try to live up to all those. My name is Joe Stupak. I'm from Aurora, Illinois. I live in District 129, West Side. Tonight I'm speaking as a representative. I'm just going to read this instead of trying to take it off. Tonight I am speaking as a representative of Northern Illinois Jobs with Justice. Thanks for taking the time to hear about important piece of legislation that will preserve local control of school boards that are faced with making decisions about charter schools. I'm sure that some board members here remember the charter school application from early in 2013 that affected D-303 as well as 17 other districts. For those who remember K-12, you probably know that all 18 districts voted no on the proposals. After voting no, the K-12 Inc. appealed to the Illinois State Charter School Commission, but before the commission could rule on the K-12 appeal, Springfield lawmakers passed a moratorium on virtual charter schools. Our primary purpose for being here tonight is to make you aware of a legislative initiative that would effectively dissolve the Illinois State Charter School Commission and restore statewide authorization responsibilities to the Illinois State Board of Education. The legislation introduced in the House is HB 3754, and I do have some handouts after I'm done for you. 3754 was introduced by State Rep Linda Chapelavia. And the State Senator Lightford introduced SB 2627. Both pieces of legislation accomplished the same goal. Our first argument is to get rid of the commission. We don't need it in the first place, and prior to 2011, the creation of the commission, the Illinois State Board of Education was the administrative body that evaluated appeals from charter schools. Secondly, the commission can take anonymous contributions from anyone, including organizations, seeking a charter approval from the commission. Third, the commission was designed to override local school districts' objections, primarily in districts outside of Chicago. If you agree getting rid of the charter commission is the best way to retain local control of charter schools, this is what you can do to help. One, we're asking that you support HB 3754 and the effort to get rid of the commission. Contact your State House and Senate member and ask them to support or co-sponsor these bills. Contact the Illinois Association of School Boards and Illinois Association of School Administrators and ask them to support these legislative initiatives. And we are having a panel discussion at the Batavia Public Library on January 23rd. It's in one of these handouts here. When there are several national experts, so we'll be there to talk about charter school effectiveness. The event is titled, Are Charter Schools Really Performing Better? I'll just be repeated at the end. Thank you again for your time. We are open to working with D-303 and the 17 other districts to see the successful passage of HB 3754, effectively closing the door on K-12 Inc. and any other politically connected charter schools that do not meet the approval of local school board. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You want to grab the handouts here?
Thank you. If you need some more, I have a few more.
Okay, appreciate that. Seeing no other citizens' comments, that takes us to superintendent's report.
Really a short one this evening. One is that, you know, we're still recovering from the cold days of Monday and Tuesday last week, so we're... Greater St. Charles Education Foundation annual jazz event is coming up. If you wish to go, please see Mrs. Ratchford so we can get arrangements made. That's February 22nd. At this time, it's at Royal Fox Country Club. So it jumps around from year to year. This time at Royal Fox on February 22nd. There are going to be three Davis-Richmond community engagement, or actually parent engagement sessions. They'll start tomorrow night from 6 at 6 o'clock at Davis. So if you're interested in going to that, please do so. The committee has been meeting several times already, the steering committee, and they'll be able to present some information then on tomorrow night.
Can I interrupt for just a second? Did you say 6 o'clock?
Six.
I think we got a parent email saying 6:30.
6:30?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure that it is 6:30?
Yeah.
It is correct time? Okay.
I'm sorry. 6:30 to 9, I think it is. So, yeah, I've got 6 to 9:30 on here. So we just added more time. So, so yeah, you're right, 6:30 to 9. And the next section after this one is January 30th, and then there's a February 6th one. All of them are at Davis. And then on a personal note, I just wanted the board members to know that Dr. Pearson is going to be singing at Carnegie Hall. So we wanted to just kind of point that out. What is it, February 8th.
Why are you shaking your head? No.
Well, there's 240 other people.
Well, we didn't think you were wrong.
Wow, but that's kind of cool that you're going to be singing at Carnegie Hall. I think that's your first time there, right?
It is.
So I think that's cool. So I just wanted to let you guys know that. So I think that completes the superintendent's report. I know I embarrassed him. I didn't tell him I was going to tell him that.
Okay, and that takes us to committee reports. Ms. McConnell, the policy did not meet.
They did not meet. They will meet the 27th.
Okay. Mrs. Huell, when we wrote a learning and teaching.
Mm-hmm. Learning and teaching met, and basically we had three items basically related to curriculum and getting things into the high school course, middle school and high school course books. They're on the agenda today under the consent agenda, except for physics, which is under action. So under the course offerings, the big core area that was being examined this year as part of the annual renewal cycle was world language area, and we learned about what they plan to do, and one of the areas that they need to work on is one of the areas that we learned about is that a new thing to our district is since Richmond has had foreign language for the kids going into middle school would have had a foreign language now for 3 years, they're further ahead, and so those accommodations need to be made for those incoming sixth graders, and as they proceed through, they'll be ahead, so that when they get to high school, they'll even be, I think it was three. I think they'd be in high school level three by the time they were in. Although it involves testing also, so students would have to do that. So anyway, world language is to be approved, and I recommend that we approve it so it can be in the course book. And just one other thing about that is also that I learned that we have opportunities for the students to learn Chinese and Japanese, but that is through ECC at our schools. Occasionally you hear parents asking about, you know, could we have Chinese? 10 years ago it was Japanese, but now it's Chinese, you know, in our schools. And we do, I guess, have that opportunity.
Juniors and seniors.
Juniors and seniors, but it's at ECC. The next item to be that's on the agenda is a class called Expanded Mathematics through College Algebra and Trigonometry. It's called MCAT, interesting enough. And this is a course that has been devised to fill a gap for students that after they go through algebra, geometry, and third year of trigonometry, they might not, the next course is normally, it could be statistics or calculus. But for students that are not looking to go into that heavier math side of math, that this fills a niche where they can have a fourth year of math, keeping them ready for college, but not for the heavier science. So it's a course that's specific. I think they told me that they thought maybe 100 students could partake of this course. And so it seemed like a really good idea. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was 250 students between the two high schools. And that it seemed like a good way to keep kids in math, even though those kids that were not interested in going into calculus. That's on the agenda. And next class is a middle school class, 8th grade music course. It's on songwriting and recording. And just another option, another exploration or for our exploratory, I'm sorry, exploratory for our kids in middle school. Recommend that we approve that. And the next one was AP Physics, which I'll just talk about briefly, but I did ask that it go on to action because I think there's still some questions and some issues I'd like to have the board to dwell on before we approve it. It's not so much the AP Physics part, but it's what would happen with the other courses. Basically, AP Physics used to be a one-year course. It was translatable to a high school course in physics, but the College Board has divided it into AP Physics 1 and AP Physics 2, so it's two full years at the high school, equivalent to 1 year in college. And so if the AP Board is doing that, to have the course, we have to, follow their guidelines and what they suggest for the course. Issues, we'll talk about it when we talk about the course in action, but are what will happen with the number of students in honors physics. And additionally, there's a transition year where those students that are in it this year, I believe, have had physics, but they're having AP physics. Next year, it'll be AP Physics 1 and 2, so they haven't really had AP Physics 1 or 2. They've had, that next year, those students just have to transition. So in order to get all the coursework in for AP Physics 1 and 2, they're going to have a 1.5 period class in order to cover the whole subject matter in order to take the tests. And we're here to approve in the agenda later on today. And that's it. There were a couple other curriculum things, updates. And our next meeting is Tuesday, not Monday. That's Martin Luther King, but next Tuesday.
Okay. And anything in DPTO?
Did not meet in December. Meets Wednesday.
Yeah. I have a question regarding the classes at ECC, the Chinese and Japanese. How would that work? Are they going to go to ECC for the class?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They go to ECC. They would sign up just like we give them credit for foreign language as well. And so they have to have had, I don't remember what the requirements are, I think they have to have, I'm not sure,
a respectable grade point, they have to be a junior or senior, and
yeah.
And do they get co-credit?
Yes.
So it's college credit as well as high
correct.
School?
I think it is our third year.
Well, we keep going to community relations.
Community relations did not meet. We will be meeting January 27th. I'm excited because we should have on board our new student liaisons at that meeting, so it'll be nice to get a chance to meet them. They've not been identified yet to me, and I assume that's going to be happening in the next week. So we can get an idea of who they are. So that's what's going to happen.
Does your committee not have any part in choosing the students?
It was authorized that the principals are going to have full approval of that.
Okay.
As well, they should.
Okay. We'll see.
And business services, you were not there?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay.
I think it was. It says I was.
Business services.
I wonder he was really there.
We met on the 19th. we had a, again, we had a brief meeting also, but first item that we had in the discussion was our financial report, what Mr. Chapman brought us up to speed on. Everything so far so good. It's on the report tonight to be reviewed, and if there's any questions, we'll forward those over to Mr. Chapman, and he can help us out with that. We also had Mike Francis from PMA, who was our financial advisor. He gave us a PowerPoint, a brief PowerPoint presentation on our five-year package. Again, if there's any questions, we take them on to Mr. Chapman. We will have an update on the PMA thing, I think, in the February meeting we discussed. So if there's anything that that is preliminary now, we'll probably more than likely in the February meeting, we'll bring it to the full board after that to be discussed. So, outside of that, next item we had was the status of our current beverage contract. This item will be brought back to the Business Service Committee by the end of the fiscal year, which would be June 30th to July 1st. I think that we discussed the other night that we are having a little bit of controversy between Pepsi and Coke, or they don't want to, they're not serving the amount of pop that they thought they would be, so I think we're going to see some adjustments, if I'm correct in saying that, in the contract.
Yeah, it should, the contract should decrease because of our consumption based on USDA regulations that's gone down substantially.
Mr. Chapman also brought us up to date on the Norris Rec Center, which is we're still proceeding forward to talk with the Park District to try to work out an agreement with them. It's an ongoing thing. It's going to take some time, so they will keep us in the loop. Last thing was the Mid-Valley Member District response, and we tabled that till the January 30th meeting. We meet on January 30th, so that sums it up.
We meet Wednesday.
Mr. Mannon, anything yours?
I actually was not there. I was out with the flu.
Okay.
So, but we do meet on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, or next Tuesday.
They didn't talk about much. They just talked about what we're talking about here, which is the St. Charles Park District. They're concerned with what's going on. So.
Okay.
It's a very short meeting. It didn't last 10 minutes. So.
Okay. Anything else?
The Housing Commission.
Oh, yes.
We're going to have a meeting in January, but it has been postponed until February 20th. And at that time, the initial draft of the CMAP study will be presented at to the committee. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the outcome of that is going to be.
Okay. Seeing nothing else, that brings us to fourth action. The item on here, do I have a motion to approve the changes to AP physics?
So moved.
Mrs. Huell, do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Manheim? Conversation, questions, comments?
I'd like to just go a little bit further into it. And I just have two issues, essentially, with this course. And if the college board is changing the course, we definitely have to do what they want us to do. My concern is that this is algebra-based physics, and that usually the kids are taking AP courses and they assume they're going to translate to college. And I'm concerned that these kids are going to take algebra-based physics and it's not going to translate to college, where they would likely have calculus-based physics. And maybe this was my own example, but so I just wanted to be very clear in the course book that this is a situation where, you know, normally they take AP and they can save time, they can save money, things like that. But if this is algebra-based and it doesn't translate to a college-level physics, I would just think they should know that before they put 2 years in. So it's a way of kind of injecting my opinion here, at least that we should be, that the course book should be very clear in what these courses purport to do for the student.
I think the issue was anybody who was going to be a science or math major.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Really, because the average student in our school is probably not taking AP physics, but if you're an engineering or a science student,
right,
you're going to be taking those courses. So just that it fulfills what you really think you get what you really think you're getting out of it. So I just wanted to kind of maybe overstep and make sure that the course book and that the counselors are very clear with the students what it means. Okay? So that was one thing.
If I could add on that.
Yeah.
There is an AP physics calculus-based one, too. It's like an C level or whatever, above the A and B level. So we briefly took a look at that. I think we're going to review whether or not there'd be kids that would be interested in that to see whether or not we want to add that as well. Probably not this year yet, but maybe the following subsequent year after we do some more research on
okay.
it. But we just, after you mentioned that, we went back and did some research on it, and there is a AP calculus, or AP physics, excuse me, calculus based as well.
Okay,
that right?
That's good.
Yeah.
So would they have to do A, B, and C then?
No.
I think that the
1 and 2 or C.
Yeah.
Ah.
My understanding of the physics course is that C would be the calculus based.
Uh-huh.
A and B are algebra based. C is a calculus based course. Okay. And the concern I have is that in the interim, we've got kids who aren't going to have that option.
You know, but they never had, They never had the option.
Yeah.
I think it's just important for us to, especially if they're going to put 2 years into, learning broader study that they used to put 1 year in. And if they were going to put 2 years in.
I probably didn't clarify. I guess somebody who might take A, then intend to go on to B, if they could wait a year, if we're going to do it next year, if they could wait a year and get C.
Uh-huh.
In other words, why take A now to prep for B when you're going to take the calculus-based course the following year, or you could,
if that's
available.
That'll be a small group of students, no doubt.
It would
probably, but it should be clear. I think we should clarify to them so they know.
It should be clear, yeah. And so that's one thing, and it'd be good to learn about it, but just so it's clear in the book. But the other one is that by doing this, the administration wanted to drop honors physics. So it'd be physics. It'd be Physics 1, or AP Physics 1, and AP Physics 2. And I really think that's a mistake, because there are a lot of students that want to do their 3 years of science to get into their college, but they're not going to take AP Physics. I mean, unless you're going in that direction, you're probably not going to take it. So to drop an honors course and just have regular physics, I think really cuts back. Well, first of all, I'm not for cutting out options for students.
Right.
I certainly think there are a lot of students that take it now that would continue to take it. And I have received public comment on just the type of conversation I'm having now. So I just don't know why, in the end, I don't know why we would, take one of our students' options away, especially with an option of going from physics to honors physics. I think we should allow that level of rigor to be exercise. So that's why I've pulled it and put it on action.
Can we keep the honors?
Sure.
Okay.
I think the difficulty is that differentiating them, because what they've kind of, they've kind of felt like they broadened the scope of AP physics. And so is there a home for honors physics, I think, a little bit?
I believe when they looked at AP Physics 1, they felt it was very close to our current honors physics course.
Right.
There were a couple of topics missing, but it was a very close course. Two of them were nearly identical, which is why we feel that kids can go from honors physics to the 1.5 period and still be successful.
Right. But I'm thinking that there are a lot of kids, because they had that option before to take AP Physics, and that's a pretty big step. So let's say you're a pretty good little student, and you're going to take your third year of science for college. You're not going to probably take AP Physics. You've probably got several other AP classes already, and that's why I think honors would fit
that
niche.
But you still want an honors class.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Additionally, honors physics would be the usual gamut, whether it's motion and then waves and, whereas I would think Physics 1 and 2 for AP will take each of those subjects and expand them, and honors physics will try to get to all the different areas. So, and I didn't think at learning and teaching I was really getting an acceptance of keeping honors physics. And actually, a parent did tell me, I don't know if it's true, but it's not in the course book. I don't know.
What isn't?
Honors physics for the course book, which is being which is online now for the students to be looking at. Honors physics is not in there. I didn't check myself. She said no.
We do have the two physics teachers here tonight, if you want to ask them.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Who are you? Oh, I read Mr. Cottle. I when that parent said that honors physics wasn't in the course book anymore, I thought I really need to make sure that the board knows that and that we weigh in.
To address your topics, I've had the honor of reading at AP Summer Institutes where I read the exams, and they've been discussing this. And the college board wanted to make the first year physics malleable, and so they have fewer topics in there so that people that had concerns such as yours would be able to put that in there. So there's actually fewer topics in AP Physics 1 so that you could meet state and local standard requirements. So many of the topics that are in there in the honors is in the AP 1. If there would be one that would be missing, it might be some of the electrostatics, but there is some extra time, flexible time built in to the AP Physics 1.
So how would you compare AP Physics 1 to honors physics as they currently, well, AP Physics 1 would be a new course, but to honors physics in terms of rigor, I know AP is supposed to, be more depth, and also next year it's going to be a year and a half, a period and a half course. I think that's going to be a negative for students that lose, that time.
Currently, that's what our AP Physics is. AP Physics is a period and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so when you're asking how does it compare, the College Board was very interested in putting in inquiry, and I think that goes along pretty well with our standard. The district as well, our values of the district, to put it in for you. So they've been very conscientious about the breadth of topics that are currently in the AP Physics B, and that's why they wanted to split it into two. And I believe the topics, along with the flexible time that they have built in for one, as well as the emphasis on inquiry, go very well with what we have in our district and our expectations for mm-hmm.
The curriculum has been held, of course, by the College Board. So this is the AP Physics B, which I think was revised in 1975, held to remiss. And there is a calculus-based AP Physics C. To address that, we have many, many students who get full college credit for their test scores on AP Physics B. For instance, we have students at the University of Illinois Engineering Department this year got full supplies on the test, and they get 12 hours of credit. It's up to the college to decide what to
right.
do.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So you can get college credit from the eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
What they basically did was they took the current curriculum from AP Physics B and they spread it over 2 years, like John said. So instead of a requirement of 20% inquiry, we're now going to be requiring 25% inquiry of the time spent. So we'll cover the same material, the same. All the same topics they've had a couple of
AP Physics,
but we'll cover them. Mm-hmm. And one period is supposed to period.
Is what?
One period is supposed to period and a half as it is today.
In Physics B or
yeah.
Physics 2?
Physics B today is a period and a half. Yeah. Physics 1 and Physics 2 will be one period.
Yeah. Well, I certainly, what the College Board is doing is, researched, and it's the way we need to go. I just really want to make sure that my concerns are heard as far as the students, are concerned, what they're thinking, what they're planning for, and the number of students that I believe probably wouldn't want to take AP Physics in their day, but would take, an honors. I just don't want to cut down on choices.
Yeah, and just to point out, too, and I helped Miguel, guys, I think there's two physics Cs, which are calculus-based. One's on mechanics and one's on electricity and magnetism. They're two one-semester courses, right.
So now the AP Board will have four physics courses, right? A, B, C, and even a further?
Well, the C is divided into two parts.
Two parts, okay.
Yeah.
C is considered a one-year course.
Right.
It's just the first semester and the second semester, and there's a separate exam for both groups.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you got to take the exam twice. I mean, you got to take two exams, one on electricity and magnetism and the other one on mechanics.
Well, it would be great if we, you know, eventually have enough students that'll be able to do that kind of thing and that would want to do it, you know, but in the interim.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, and I guess my concern would be, and we get to discuss this in depth and detail, but for the average student that's, you know, filling out their class schedule for next year, or their parents are helping them or whatever, they don't know that AP Physics is very similar to honors. They're just going to see, well, AP Physics, that's not really your cup of tea. Let's do something else. When honors physics might be a good choice.
Well, what concerns me, and my son actually went through this with the calculus versus the algebra when he transferred, and why the college classes are very similar, there is a huge difference for engineering students. They're requiring the calculus base, even though he took the AP algebra base here and then transferred it over. So, however we enroll the students, they have to be very cautious knowing what class they want to take and where their career trajectory is going to be if they have that decision made.
Well, I mean, I'm going to throw this out as an option because what I've heard from our staff is that it's pretty much the same. Why don't we just call it honors slash AP, and the student then gets a choice to, on that one, it's the only one we could do, but we get let the student take a choice whether they want to take it.
It'd be a one-year thing anyway,
transition, right?
Right.
Except for the one-year transition course is 1.5 periods.
Right. Is it going to be 1.5 next year? No.
Well, our thinking is the students who are taking honors and regular this year need to be able to take an AP class next year. So even though there's technically not an AP Physics B, same course, and then they will take physics 1 with physics 2 tests in May, so they get the same sort of credit, they get the same credential.
I got you.
A transition year would only be for the students who are in honors physics this year.
This year.
Right.
So, well, I guess it's gotten a little complicated, but my thinking is, my personal experience and thinking would be to keep the honors physics and to do the AP as was planned, and give children the option.
Would that be logistically possible or logistically feasible?
It depends on how many students sign up. Obviously, with this, obviously, then what you've got is if they take honors. Let's just walk through this. So you'll have a group that have taken honors physics this year. Many of them are going to want to go on to an AP physics. So that's what they're trying to do now. So the next year, you'd have a group of them that would have taken honors physics, and then you'd have to do that logistical step again for mm-hmm. them. You'd have to run another section of 1.5 or whatever to try to catch them up. So
God bless you.
I'm trying to figure out, logistically, could we do that? Yes. Would it make it difficult? I mean, I'm still going to throw out the suggestion of if it's essentially the same topic structure, it's really the name that's scaring people off.
I think that's part of it. I would think that, you know, it would have scared me off back in the day.
Right.
But I am thinking, too, that if you had an honors slash AP, the problem is, I don't know how you would then differentiate the students, because this board does require that if you take an AP course, you take the test.
Well, you would have to make an exception, then, for those students this year.
Which is, I think, if you indicate that in the course book, that can be done.
Right.
That might be the most logistically feasible thing to do. My bigger concern really is the algebra base versus calculus. Because I have a nephew in engineering at Notre Dame, and that was an issue for him.
Yeah, it's an issue. You have to be very, very clear on that curriculum. I mean, otherwise you're just going to repeat it.
The one-year transition, I think, if I understand the gentleman correctly, that kind of fulfills the same requirement. Honors and the, you know, the current APA kind of fulfill the same requirements, so they have the same course content. So as long as that's, you know, copacetic to do that, I have no problem with.
You know, I don't want to catch you with a question you can't answer, but how many students are in honors physics right now, ballpark? Is it, because it's juniors only? And
in sections of about 24, 150.
Okay, so that's a lot of students. Do you really, personally, I would think those students are probably not going to be taking AP Physics, so then they would probably slide back down to regular physics.
Well, I think if it's clarified that what it is, I don't know that that's a problem.
They would, because only because of the name.
Because of the name,
what they're saying is the same content.
It's the same kind, but then that makes me wonder, like with AP, I mean, I always thought AP was that step above, you know, mm-hmm. you have Honor Spanish, and then you have AP Spanish.
Right, so. But AP, what they did is expand their scope, is my understanding of what they're trying to cover to make sure, because not all school districts would have an AP Honors Physics, or an Honors Physics. So many of them, they probably saw some struggle with kids getting in there, so they lowered the bottom end to try to get more kids into it, I would suspect. Is that reasonably true?
So. But I think those juniors, you know, that are that kind of student, they're probably taking a few AP courses already. You kind of have to choose your schedule. It's something that's doable, and I think it's wonderful if we have seven sections of students in honors physics. I mean, I don't want to lose that.
Do you feel we would?
Not to put you on the spot.
There would be some number of students who are challenged by choice students right now who want to take honors, maybe more so because they like the caliber of their colleagues. They want to be with more serious students. And they may choose then to take standard physics, but I would put that number in the 10-15 percent range.
So maybe a section or so?
Because, again, it's more of the name. And that's counseling. It's helping our parents and our students understand that AP Physics 1 is essentially honors physics. And there's a test at the end.
Why? Also part of it is you get sick, you get, like, honors versus regular, you get the higher GPA.
Right.
What the stress was.
Okay, since you spoke up, would you have taken AP Physics instead of honors physics?
Why?
Oh, you aren't making it. Okay, so you're the wrong. But, we're talking about those students that maybe aren't, headed out to engineering, but they're good, solid students.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of wanted to get without putting anybody on the spot too much is what that number would be, and it sounds like it's roughly a section that might, instead of taking honors physics, would take regular physics instead. And I think even with clarification, perhaps it would be on the lower end of their estimate.
Well, I guess I'll make my lesson. I just don't know why we would take a choice away, because that's essentially what we did. We got regular and AP, and we had honors. I don't know why we would lose it.
For a transition year,
I think it's more than a transition. I think
it's a transition year.
Yeah.
Why? Let's not put AP on the name at all. Let's just call it honors physics. But they could take the test at the end of the year.
As an option.
Can we do that?
Why not?
Yeah, yes.
You control the course handbook. Yes.
Well, now you may be taking away some of the people who want to take AP.
But it seems a little deceitful.
Yeah.
It's the same curriculum.
I disagree, because if it's clearly indicated in the course guideline that if you take this honors class, you may elect to take the AP exam and sign up for it, so you know that at the end of that semester, your trajectory is to that point. For those individuals who choose not to, they continue on with the class.
Yeah, I just kind of see it as probably about the same kind of numbers either way. I
don't think it's deceitful or misleading at all if it's just clearly stated in the course guideline. Mm.
Okay.
Well, the vote really here is to approve the AP Physics, so that's not, the additional was just what else they're doing with their curriculum by dropping a course, and I don't know if we ever actually are really asked to vote on dropping courses, so it's kind of a new area, new thing for I'm thinking of, and I just don't want to do that. So the vote, my vote would be yes to go ahead with the physics as we need to do for AP, but I guess it's just direction from the board, and I don't even know if that's a vote or a consensus or something.
Well, I can tell you, sitting in the superintendent's chair, what I would do, and that is I'd put an asterisk in there that says this is honors/AP physics. It's AP has expanded the breadth of their physics for this year. It encompasses what we used to teach as an honors physics, and that's what we expect the students to take.
The other thing is they're going to be sitting down with a counselor, too,
right,
who can explain. I mean, somebody's there to say, this is what's going on. So whatever we really, one way or the other, is probably not that big a deal for this 1 year.
It isn't just for 1 year that we're making this vote for.
Right, losing the honors, I understand that. I'm talking about for the transition, it's not that big a deal. But for the losing the honors, no, that going forward, I think, needs to be clarified what that algebra-based AP Physics is.
Did you have something else?
Colleges, like the choice between taking honors and AP is also on your transcript for colleges, seeing whether you took an honors or an AP course.
Right.
So how would that be distinguished too?
Which,
good
that's,
point.
Yeah.
So if we have different categories of classes, then it's pretty clear.
But is it that you took the course or took the test?
Took the test.
Well, we require
our board requires you to take the test if you're in an AP course. So it would be AP on the transcript, they would have to take the test.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't know if it's it would they'd have to take the test. What they scored on that test is not relevant to what's going to be on the transcript, though. It's still going to say AP, that they took the AP.
Right, if they take the test.
If they take the test.
If they take the, and I guess what I'm saying is that so that's I think what you're looking at is what college is going to look at actually on that transcript. Regardless of the mm-hmm. test, and that's a concern,
that's just bookkeeping. So
it's bookkeeping, but it's college admissions bookkeeping,
But if you take a look, if you would like to take the test at the beginning, then you are then AP enrolled. If you elect not to take the test, then you are honors enrolled, but the same class.
Right.
So that would address that issue.
And it would be so designated on the transcript then. Is that correct, Dr. Schulman?
Yes.
Okay. Only if you take the test.
Only if you sign up to take the test, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, then that class right now, that's a one period class?
Sorry.
Is it a one period class or a one and a half period class?
A,
the first one. The
first one, one period.
AP Physics 1 is willing to work.
The old course, right?
Oh, you said AP.
And there's going to be a transition time for the new for the kids that
which
are in
just,
honors
yeah.
that are going to do a period and a half. Mm-hmm.
And we'd be able to do this in perpetuity, right? The honors slash AP for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we should do it. If we don't have the courage of our convictions in terms of the class that we offer, why make a special? This board said.
Well, that's why I'm trying to address whether it's transition or not. If it's transition, then we are. That's my point. We are then eliminating that honors choice if it's not a transition. If it's a transition thing, so if we are confident that we can do this in perpetuity, then I feel more comfortable with that.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why we can't. I mean, there's no reason why we can't do it for the. I think the discussion will flesh itself out if we come back to you then a year and start talking about also a calculus-based physics, because now you're going to offer some different levels of kind of segmentation that people can separate themselves in what they want to take with physics. Mm-hmm. So that'll help as well with this.
Well, then a year from now, then I'd really want to look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And if there's any fall off at all, then we know then the choice was made.
I think what it comes right down to is we know we have to approve this because it's what the college boards require.
Sure.
We want to make sure that there's understanding of how we can move forward.
I do appreciate the fact that we're having this discussion instead of some boards that have discussions whether we should buy a Chevy truck or a Ford truck. So
yeah.
I do appreciate the fact that we're
you
actually...
You never have that conversation.
are we anything else to add to that then?
I guess, Dr. Schulman had his suggestion. Personally, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather stick with honors physics. But if we went around the table, whatever it ends up to be.
Well, I think we'd have to change it. We'd have to word that.
Yeah, we'd have to redo it. But I think that's more just board direction. I don't think that's a vote.
Yeah, I mean, my suggestion is let's do this for 1 year. Let's see how the numbers work out. We could... Potentially, if we bring back calculus-based physics, we could bring back an honors physics that would be a stepping stone directly from honors physics into a calculus-based physics mm-hmm. as well.
Right.
That would then you'd bypass this B level physics or the I don't know what it is A B or whatever it is now I'm losing track of.
Yeah.
But AP. I mean that way you could structure an honors physics around something that would then stepstone into a calculus basic physics as well.
Does that make sense to everyone? Good. Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Kind of like string theory.
Mrs. Hugo?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum?
Yes.
Mr. McCallum?
Yes.
Mrs. Pratt?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes, motion is approved. And that brings us to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone would like removed? Mrs. McCallum?
E and G.
E, the
Mid-Valley Girls? No. B is in boy.
Oh, B is in boy.
And G is in girl.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, and so do I have a motion to, I'm sorry, were there any others to be removed?
Yes, I have a J, question about J.
So B, G, and there is no J.
There is no J, that's why I'm kind of like,
take it off of the problem.
The personnel report of line J.
Oh, okay. We're already pulling B, right?
We're already pulling the whole report. So.
Okay, so B and G then, correct? Okay, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exception of items 6B and 6G?
So moved.
Okay, Mr. Manheim, do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. McConnell? And would you call the roll?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. McGann?
Yes.
Mrs. Burrell?
Yes.
Mr.
Gaffney? Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes.
Mr. Sprout?
Yes. Motion is approved. And do I have a motion to approve consent agenda item 6B, the CUSD 3-3 personnel report? Ms. Hewell, do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Manheim? Okay. Comments, questions?
Okay, I was pretty certain that we had asked that education and experience credentials be listed even now for substitute or long-term substitute people. And, I read through it, and as I mentioned earlier, I have been without my email for 4 days, so I just had a chance to look at it real quickly. There was only one person who had education on there, and it said something about they had a major in art. I looked it up on the ISBE credential thing. There was no major in art. It is not a 6 through 12 teacher, but they're going to be teaching middle school science. And I don't understand why we can't find teachers that are, better experienced, better have the credits that they require. I mean, they can do all these things with 18 credits. There are no majors here that I'm aware of. And this teacher is going to be teaching science and social studies. And I don't see the background here. I don't know what I'm missing, but I want to tell you something. There has to be a retired science teacher who can teach, who's credentialed 6 through 12, who would come back for the semester or something, and I don't understand why we're not doing it.
Well, for that position, we did have a retired science teacher filling it until the day before Christmas break.
Uh-huh.
That was for the teacher who resigned at Red Lake back in October because of his other issue. But as you might know, a retired teacher is only allowed to work for 100 days before they have to give up their pension.
Right, I do understand that. I do understand.
So we had an obligation to fill the position. Mr. Morrill interviewed many candidates. The pool is very thin outside of the times when teachers are available. The time you can hire high quality, what you're talking about is
yes.
At the start of a school year. And that's about it. Because most teachers by then already have jobs. And nobody's going to leave a job to come work for us in the middle of the school year.
I understand that, but you're telling me that there aren't really qualified teachers out there that might have, had stronger qualifications for this.
There was one other who, after the interview, was clearly not as good as this.
Meaning?
This was the better candidate to select of the two highest quality candidates that Mr. Morrill had.
Okay, and we are looking as high. I mean, I just feel like, it's the same with math, okay? If you take a math teacher who has elementary credentials, and you're teaching them middle school math when they have to go into high school math, does anybody else see the point of having a 6 through 12 credential teacher teaching middle school in math and science? Or is it my imagination?
No, I don't think anyone's disagreeing with that. And in fact, Dr. Pearson and I haven't had a conversation about that today, because our goal is to hire that. But the pool is very, very thin in December.
You might find some retired teachers out there, but you're not going to find a math teacher, as an example, out there that's a quality math teacher. You might find somebody that's been let go by another district, but they've usually been let go by another district for
a reason. Of course.
This candidate does have the background in science. She does not have the major in social studies, but has the hours.
She doesn't have a major in science either. She does not have a major. She's 18 credits. 18 credits. Okay, that's not impressive.
She has her state endorsement on her license to teach science.
I understand.
We're not going to find the chemist now. It's not possible.
Okay.
Keep in mind, anyone we hire now is automatically being released for the end of the year. So if she doesn't work out, she doesn't come back next year.
So our kids have had that for a semester. Let me just ask one more thing. I'm going to vote no for this reason, but what has happened to adding the education and credentials and experience to anyone that we hire for a semester or a year that teaches our children? Is that difficult? Because you guys have to have that information. So why can't we have it?
And under which category?
Well, under any, you know, like if it's a full hire, fine. If it's a year, you know, if it's the school year, you know, temporary or sub for the school year. And
any candidate we hire for a semester or more does have their credentials listed. The people you're looking at, perhaps under Section D, the long-term subs, those are for things like maternity leave. Those are generally 6 to 12 week assignments.
Then could we have that made clear? Could we have that on the information that we receive so that we don't have, you know, unnecessary concerns?
So are you asking for the expected length of the assignment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's there on one of them, so.
Yeah, just know that sometimes those change because the regular employee may be gone longer than anticipated. But we can put in the expected length.
Right, in the expected time and what their experience in education is. So that we know that if we have our children in a semester, that they're not getting a semester of just anybody. We need to have our kids have the best teachers all the time.
We'll make those adjustments.
Thank you.
Actually, on that one, I did have a question on the salary, because it looks like a teacher with just a bachelor's and no teaching experience. So they would be making $28,000 a year. For half a year?
She has a master's degree.
She has a master's degree. It's not on here. And but even then,
if she doesn't, she's at bachelor's plus 24.
So even a master's, though, would half of that be, so a master's with no experience would be $56,000 a year?
Very roughly.
I'm just pretty making sure we got the right numbers here.
She's working. It's a little
more than a semester, but I still didn't think that the numbers really added up. Okay.
All right. You can see where this information would be helpful. Okay. Thank you.
I have a similar question, but just wondering. We have an interim elementary principal at Munhall. And I was wondering how long his tenure is going to be.
His is a day-to-day thing, so he's probably only going to do one day a week. He's in there to help the principal who's currently has been diagnosed with cancer. He's in there to provide assistance when she has chemo on the weekends and on Monday. Primarily, he's to come in and make sure that help out in that situation.
Okay, so. He should be there then probably for
It'll be dependent on her health situation. There will be a time later on, it's expected that she will have surgery, and so he will probably then be a bit more day-to-day on that time period.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. McCallum?
No.
Mr. McNeil?
Yes.
Mrs.
Fry? Yes.
Mr. Gedney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Yes, motion is approved. And do I have a motion to approve item 6G? Motion?
I move.
Mr. Manheim, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Mrs. Hewell. Okay.
What is it?
Questions? Discussion?
Oh.
You the next?
I have a concern about this that may not seem, you know, monumental, but to me it is. In fact, I emailed Dr. Sloman about it, and he concurred that, you know, if you live in America and you take German or you take French or Spanish or Japanese, you are studying a foreign language. It's not a negative. It's what we're studying is a foreign language. And because we're calling it world or global or giving it some fancy name, doesn't change that. It's just political correctness run amok, and I really think it's just not the right thing for us to do. I'd like us to be specific with our language.
I think they were just trying to mirror what the verbiage is in the field as it is.
In the field. But I think we're smarter than the field, or at least we ought to be trying to be.
I agree.
Thank you.
There is no world language.
There is no world language.
I have the same.
Did you?
The same reaction.
If you live in Germany and you study English or French or Japanese, you are studying a foreign language.
Do they call it foreign, or do they say
they call it foreign? You know, something I haven't really checked on that.
Yeah.
I will. My point is that, you know, you can always come up with words for things. And when I don't know who presented it to us the other day, or, you know, at L&T, someone presented it, and they said, we don't want to say foreign because it's a negative. No, it's not.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
The person who presented it at the L&T meeting said that they were calling it, I thought they were calling it global, but anyway, it was world. And she said, and we're using that word because foreign language is a negative. No, it's not. And I think we should have a foreign language curriculum. Or not.
Sitting in the superintendent's chair, I can just say that at least administration, we're agnostic on this. If the board feels strongly about foreign language rather than world language, that's fine.
Excellent.
Do we have to change very much? If we go. Is it being called world now or foreign?
I don't know.
It's being
I call it foreign. I still call every
I will
too
to the day.
Right.
I
it's world. Yeah. It's CG. It's World Language Conceptual Framework and Course Offerings.
I know, but I don't know what
no,
it is.
No, I was just wondering what it is currently. Like if the students are used to calling it world language.
I think they still call it foreign language.
Yeah.
I don't know. So.
I think most students probably still call it foreign. I know you call it foreign language.
Yeah.
I don't see it as a negative.
So you do have a motion on the table, so you'd need an amendment probably to amend it if you're interested in voting on it as a foreign language and then vote on the I could call it potato. I'd be okay with that. So
let's be retro. Let's call it.
All right.
Let's call it.
I will take the opposite stance since we can be academic. If you take a look at the word foreign right now, perhaps it means strange, unusual, and we're looking more as inclusivity that we have a world music. Is that world music? What is world music? What is global perspective? So using world simply, to me, is a new contemporary inclusive term rather than saying foreign, unusual. Two sides, a different perspective, that's all.
That's right, it is a different perspective, but I would like to see us do it the right way. I mean, you know,
I can't say that it's right because in one chair it may be right, in one chair it may be...
Right, even Angela Merkel thinks diversity is not so good.
It's just an interpretation.
It is an interpretation. But, I know that we I guarantee you that we have teachers who teach our children that we live in a democracy. We do not. We live in a constitutional republic.
But right now
republic.
We're simply talking about...
Right. We are, and I. But I'm saying I'd like the right language.
I just thought of something. In our elementary schools, it's FLESS, foreign language in the elementary schools. Right. So we'd have to change to WLESS.
That's right.
So let's not.
So
let's.
Let's keep FLESS.
I think foreign language is a more descriptive of what it is because it is in fact different than what the norm is. So
right.
and
it's not in America.
I don't know what a world
English.
Language would be.
A second to that, right. And vote on the amendment, and then vote on the initial one.
Right. Dr. Shulman, how did we come up with world language to begin with?
It's a lemmings over the cliff. It was just something that's commonly called that now. I can remember where they switched from foreign language in the late 80s to global languages, and then they switched it from global languages to world languages. I think most parents and most teachers and most staff members still call it foreign language. So this is not something I'm going to fight the board on. If this is what you want to do, that's fine.
Okay, so with that being said, do I have an amendment or do I have a motion to amend it to foreign language conceptual framework and course offerings?
So moved.
Okay, second. Mr. Nally? Okay, any further comments, questions? Would you call the roll, please?
You're voting just on the amendment.
Just on the amendment. We're voting on that this is what we're voting on.
Can you explain what we're voting on again?
You're changing the name to foreign language.
So we're voting to foreign. This is just voting to change the name on the motion.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Mr.
McNeil?
Yes.
Mrs. Brown?
No.
Mr. Gill?
No.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes.
Mr.
No.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Yes. Motion's approved. So now, do I have a motion for items, the amended item 6G?
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Well, you already have a motion and a second already on the table on that.
Well, that was just for the amendment.
No, you already had an original one before you started discussion.
That's right.
So
right.
Now you just need to vote on the original.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Withdraw my name.
Okay.
To read it again. What are we voting on?
It's just the what's
world
in
language concept.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been amended, but yes, it's that.
Same thing, just now.
It's essentially approving the curriculum.
And calling it foreign.
The course offerings. The course offerings.
Right.
The
course offerings. Right.
Okay. Would you recall the roll?
Mrs. Kraft?
Yes, I'll approve the curriculum.
Mr.
Gannon?
Yes.
Mrs.
Hill?
Yes. Mr.
Henry?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Motion is approved. That takes us to new business. Very new business.
I have something I'd like to discuss. I have mentioned this before about my interest in developing strong STEAM education, obviously in light of our conversation today about physics. Very, very important. And also wonderful write-up that we have recently been given about Project Lead the Way that has been introduced to our middle school, and great kudos and commendations to everyone involved in initiating that. But there is an equal push now that I'm hearing, and also hearing very much so from parents, that we don't forget with our rush to STEM education, that we forget the arts. And I would like to know, and not necessarily today's meeting, but I really would like to know at a future meeting about what our emphasis is in arts curriculum. It's so critically important for our elementary school students to have arts and education. So it's cross-curriculum, and it's not just based in a fine arts class, as they perhaps would get in high school, but also to see what kind of interest there is in investing in the arts for our high school students. The reason why is that there's been an awful lot of research being done on how creativity can help us truly us,
develop problem solving, working within groups, learning how to take risks. And all of those things are so critically necessary to lead our productivity as a workforce. And also understanding of our world community.
I would agree. I think it's good we spent enough on other curriculum. We probably should have a good feel as a board on that one. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else who would be interested in that?
And so are you just talking specifically about the arts part of the STEAM to STEM?
Correct.
I know that the arts are due for their cyclic renewal.
Are you waiting for the standards to be completed?
Yes.
To start that process?
Okay.
I'm sorry,
what standards?
The arts, fine arts standards.
From?
What group is the fine arts standards from, Michelle?
We're currently in the review process, so.
What organization?
It's the National Teachers of.
Teachers
of Arts Education,
yeah.
Or something like that.
We can get that for you exactly, but
it's the organization that essentially teachers of arts are members of that recommend the curriculum.
Okay. What came to mind while you're talking about it, and I don't really have any problem with the arts, and I know that children who study music are much better students overall and all of that.
Well, it's not just about music, that's one of them, but also fine and performing arts. Music.
Right, that's all fine, but when you talk about the arts, then over here we're going to give our children texts that are informative as opposed to literary. What happens to the arts?
I'm not sure. I don't understand.
Nobody else understands. Do you understand me, Steve, what I'm saying?
That might be a discussion for.
Yeah, that might. Okay.
So you kind of talking just hours of the day?
The fine arts. Well, we haven't started the work yet, so by next year. If the standards are finished and we're ready to move forward, yes, it's a possibility. Or the year after.
So
we can talk about the arts without having a curriculum process if
right.
Do that.
And that's just the reason I brought it up, because there'd be a limit to the amount of work you'd want to do on it before these standards.
I'll put it on the rolling.
Anything else, Mr. Gaffney?
I would like, as long as we're now online with our FOIA stuff, that next to the 88 hours or whatever the time element is, up left, anything less than an hour I'm not concerned about, I'd like to see a monetary number next to it.
I thought we were putting that
in. No, it's not there. I mean, if we're going to spend $4,000 or whatever, and I want a gross number. So if a staff member makes $35.
Oh, so you want staff members to calculate it out too? Okay.
Well, just give me an
legal?
Average.
Right.
Just give me an average. I mean, if you're going to have a legal, then.
Right. Okay, we can do that.
Yep. Actually, that was the thing I was going to have gone through. I thought it's important. Being 88 hours, I think that's a new high, possibly.
No, it's not. We had a 90.
We had a 90, but they're just accruing. And I think parents should know that there's somebody in this community that has an unnatural interest in their students' costumes and choreography and when they practice.
When's that Ford Chevy debate?
Mr.
McNally?
I've had some questions in the neighborhood about how the Richmond Davis, the steering committee, how that was chosen. Some people were concerned with kind of the balance of those who had been in favor as opposed to those who had been opposed initially. So they wanted to know and I was unable to answer the question.
Yeah, I think, as I told them, I didn't choose it. The principals chose them, so we can ask the two principals to submit as to how they made the choices. So.
Okay. I'd like to be able to not stand there and say I don't know.
Well, if we read the letter, I'll let us all know, too, about that.
Sure.
Anything else? Okay, seeing nothing else, do I have a motion to adjourn to closed session for the purpose of appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity, and also, well, we're not doing too much.
No.
Okay, so that would be it. Got a motion?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Second. And would you call the roll?
Mr. Gibbs?
No.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mr. Manley?
Yes.
Mrs. McDonald?
Yes.
Mr. McDaniel?
Yes.
Mrs. Brown?
Yes.
Yes, so that brings a close to the open session. And then thank you everyone for coming. Let's take a quick 10-minute break, 5-minute break. Take a
7-minute break.
7-minute break. And then we have a very quick closed session. Okay, we are back in open session. District 303, Board of Education. It is Monday, January 13th, 2014 at 8:29 p.m. And we are back in open session. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Mahan?
Here.
Mrs. McDonald?
Here.
Mr. McDonald?
Here.
Mrs. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Chu?
Here.
Mrs. Brown?
I'm here. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. Mr. McNally? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. All right.
All right.
Have a good night, everyone. Thank you.
I may be delighted.